Since we've been on, if anyone wants to come up, hang out, feel free. Otherwise, we'll give a few minutes for people to show up and stuff. This is kind of unannounced, so I've been busy quite a bit lately, the last month or so. So we haven't had much spaces or anything. Haven't been on in a while, like maybe over a month. It's kind of funny. All right, be right back. Okay, so anyway, is it time for the bull market and whatever else to start? Probably. It's been a nice kind of like boring month and a half of getting poor, everything dropping by like 50% or more. So
hopefully. Holy shit, Seffy, I didn't know it was going to be this quick.
Wait, what's going to be this quick?
That you were actually going to be on. I thought you were like, oh, I'm busy, like busy for indefinite amount of time.
You reminded me. I was like, hey, we should do a spaces. I'm like, I'm busy, but. It's going to take a little bit for Domino's Pizza to show up, so I got a little bit of time. Anyway, I had a lot going on. I've got one kid graduating from college, so he's going to be going to work for Elon in Fremont. So he's going to do some, like, he's going to be using robots to operate on monkeys and take off their skulls and stick shit in their brains. That's basically what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, I know where Fremont is. My family lives nearby in a town called San Ramon.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's going to be heading out there doing that thing, operating on, I don't know, monkeys doing Neuralink work and shit. So using robots to operate on monkeys, it sounds kind of funny. Anyway, but they're flying him out there tomorrow. He's flying across the country to go do that first. And then once he gets like signed on, it's pretty good money, actually. He's getting, like, out of undergrad college, he's getting paid like $140, which is not bad, I guess. So he picked up a lot of skills in undergrad while he was doing research labs and stuff, and so he's a lot more
qualified. I mean, what's more important is that those Neuralink shares, man. He's got to fight for equity every comp cycle, because
I don't know how that shit works, but yeah, maybe. Well he's not going to work there permanently. He did really well on his medical school shit, so he's like a shoe-in to get into some like high-end medical school and stuff. So then I've got to spend another like $500,000 on that, you know. So
well, I was just gonna say, I mean Neuralink equity is, I mean, I would just say at least try to vest like half of it. I mean, I don't know if he's gotten awarded it, but it's like try to do a two, because it's probably a four-year vesting cycle, try to get half, hold on to that shit. Yeah. For dear life.
Not too sure if he gets anything like that or not, but we'll see.
If he needs any advice, let me know.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to basically get trained out there, and we'll see how that goes. So he's going to be doing kind of a year thing, and then maybe he'll like incorporate that later with his like neurosurgery shit, and then go into sort of this field as a thing, possibly. So I was kind of encouraging him to do that as opposed to just like regular clinical practice, because that Neuralink shit's pretty badass, you know, making people into cyborgs and whatnot. So like that first Neuralink project was like, you have a little implant, pretty small. It's like the interface between your brain and this thing is like the size of like an iPhone lightning connector, but you're able to control a mouse with your mind. And then the next thing Neuralink's working on, I believe, is called Blindsight. And it's a thing where you can hook a camera up to your brain. And if you have like blindness, it can help you see, and kind of like you'll be like, the resolution will be like, you know, like early computing. You'll see like maybe some walls and stuff, but basically you'll get some capabilities to, if you're blind, that you couldn't otherwise have. So interesting stuff anyway. So we'll see how that plays out. But so that's, he's been doing that. I've been getting ready for that. And then I've got to go like get him. He's got graduation in like a week or so. So I'll be flying out to go there to do that. And then, so just been busy lately. Been designing like a house, putting together some designs for like, I know a lot about kind of high-end audio and architecture and this, that, and the other thing. So I was kind of putting all that together for my brother. We've been working on that this whole last couple of weeks, pretty much, like to try to design something worth building. So that's, so just been busy lately, and then work and whatever. So hadn't been too much time to hop onto Spaces and stuff lately. Drake, what are you up to, man? Drake, you there? Drake was just like you, Kareem. He's like, when are we doing
Space? Yeah, I'm trying to, I was trying to find this thinking button. I'm like, what in the world?
Oh.
Anyways, cool. Yeah, dude, not much. How you been?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, I was just kind of filling Kareem here is like what I've been doing the last few weeks, just kind of working on.
Yeah, I think as soon as the market turned, you know, Steffi got really busy. So
it's almost like this is like the time when the market always is terrible for some reason. Like, I remember so many years when this same thing happened. Like, it's right around this like March to May time, and like everything goes to shit for a while. So it's whatever. It's fine. Things will go up again, most likely. But there's not that many narratives going on right now. It's like you don't see a lot of Twitter.
Broski, it's memes.
It's memes again, you think?
Dude, it's so memes. It's memes and majors. I think we're gonna see chop in the next few months. Yeah. Maybe you're gonna have some of like the blue chip altcoins get some love. But it's majors, man.
I just basically bought a fuck ton of Doge, like, because I figured like
no.
The reason I did that particular one is because like if memes in general do fine, then it's always going to catch a bid. And like, I don't really put small amounts of money into things, and I don't really want something that goes to zero. So I just simply dump a pile of money in Doge and just ride it. So it's doing fine. It's popped up a little bit last day or so. And I think it'll like, so if everything else does well, like Doge is really highly correlated to Bitcoin. So if BTC does well, Doge automatically does well. And then
give a ticker recommendation, but I'm not going to give the ticker because I'm always top signal with that. So
no, it's fine. Just tell me.
Check out a lot of my latest recent posts. Okay. It's like Pepe, but it's not Pepe.
Like
it's what Pepe ever? Should have been. And it starts with an A.
Oh, up.
And it ends with a poo.
I haven't been paying too much attention to it, but people seem to be hyping it. That's cool.
Yeah, don't sleep on that thing. It's a community takeover. They're pretty strong. Look for dips, obviously. It's really volatile.
You get it where? Is it on Ethereum or it's on Solana?
It's on Ethereum.
Okay. All right. Anyway, yes.
A lot of the ETH ball coin should do well.
Okay. Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it seems like people don't have a heavy, you know, DeFi narrative rolling. Like, definitely the Chainlink people have been putting out material like crazy. It hasn't really pumped the price or anything, but like, there's definitely that real world asset narrative that they're kind of like running up. So I think it'll do fine over time. So I feel really, really comfortable with my link bag in terms of like, you know, I'm probably not going to lose money on it more than likely. So it's like, that's a good thing. And then there's some other, all the little microcaps basically like trimmed off and need to start picking up again over the next few months, I think. We'll see. But yeah, what's going on, Blind? What you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, brother? I had a quick question. I don't know if you have any expertise in this field, but do you have any idea about patenting software or patenting platforms or anything like that?
I filed for a trademark once. I don't think I've ever done anything patent related. I don't really know, man. Like, I think people usually get like a patent lawyer or something, or just Google it and figure out what you need to turn in. But you have some idea or something you're trying to patent?
Yeah, I'm barely scratching the surface of the whole world, but I'm just trying to integrate blockchains, smart contracts, things like that. But it's a lot of stuff. I'm just getting started.
All right, good luck with that. Powers, what you up to, man?
Hey, what up, Steffi? Good evening.
Surviving the apocalypse.
Just vibing, man. Dude, so I was going to kind of touch on what you guys were talking about with, you know, why some of like these low cap, like altcoins are struggling. One thing I noticed from last cycle that really kind of made a difference, especially like with like the DeFi stuff, is I noticed that like Luna, for example, like the whole ecosystem was super egalitarian, right? Like it, a lot of people, like you know, people that didn't have too much money were able to benefit from it. And I don't really see that with any of the protocols out right now. Like it's everything like the high FTV, you know. I don't see any protocol that really does like that egalitarian, you know, like for the people kind of like mindset. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you're just trying to find like something that's priced fairly, basically, that you can get in on early. Like that's the problem, though. Like crypto has that problem, like constantly, like finding decent distribution and all that shit. So like, yeah, there's not too many of those. That's why, like, sometimes I'll just throw money at shit that, like, you know, like, for example, my Dogecoin buy is that. It's, like, it's really, really well distributed at this point because so many people bought it last season. So, like, you know, it goes up, it goes down a little bit, not a big deal. It might not be the hottest thing. Like, it may not have the highest multiples, but, like, I'm probably not going to lose much money on it, so I can put large amounts in and just let it ride. But, yeah, I think the whole thing is really dependent, though. Like, remember, like, this happened last season in 2020 where, you know, BTC gets to its prior high. And last season, like, within, like, 3-4 weeks, like, you tested high, and then you ran past 20K, and just all the alts just basically mooned at that time. And I thought, like, in the last a month or so ago, that would happen. Like maybe something similar would happen again. And now it's been a month later after that and nothing's really happened. In fact, like everything just sort of dumped. So I think we've had a pretty good like test of local bottom now. So, you know, slowly people are going to start piling in and then everything runs again, you know? So like the time to buy things is clearly when everyone's depressed and doesn't give, like, don't care. So that's cool. But like,
is that now though, in your mind, Steffi, or
you'll never know exactly when, but like, if you look at number of CT posts on crypto, it's pretty mild now. Like,
yeah. You know, but like, so, do you see there being more downside, like a 40K Bitcoin at this point, or how would you,
man, it's so tough to tell. Like, all you have to do is go, wait a minute. Like, have we pulled back enough from recent highs? And like, if you take a Chainlink, for example, it was like a 21, 22. It dropped down almost to like 12 something. That's a pretty fucking big dump. Like that's 50%, right? So that's definitely like the time you would be getting in. But the thing is, like if you look at the overall trend, if you just go by 200-day moving average and you don't look at anything else, like everything looks fine. Like this is just normal. Like if you just look at a monthly chart, this type of volatility almost,
like literally everything is sitting on either the 3-day 200 or like the weekly 200 right now.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Especially Kuji. You look at Kuji, it's right there, man.
And generally during a bull market, like if you say a bull market's like a couple years or, you know, 2.5 years or something, depending on where you start counting. You know, you'll usually hit like under the 200-day moving average a couple of times during that whole season. So when every single time that happens, everyone's depressed as fuck, and like everyone thinks that everything's going to go to zero, and like altcoins are dead, and there's no narratives, and like, you know what I mean? Like everyone's upset during that time. So it's like, and then slowly everything kind of like bottoms out, people start buying, and then it starts picking up again. And then, like, obviously, by the time the froth and excitement happens, things have already started to run up half. Like, you know, basically, by the time you know there's a reversal, like, you know, 50% of the gains have already been taken at that point, right? So you have to be willing to scale in all the way down. Otherwise, you're always going to be picking up stuff high. There's really no, the math always works like that. You'll never know where the bottom is. You just know you have to get some all the way down to find it. Like, it doesn't matter how much charting and whatever the fuck else you do. You're not going to get you're not going to get all that, you know, timing right and stuff like that. You're just never going to be able to tell. So I think this is like not a bad time. Like we've had, like, if you just pull up the monthly chart and stuff, it looks pretty normal. So like this 50% volatility super normal. And if you happen to buy at the top, like, oh, you know, I got excited about, you know, Link and I bought some at $20, which I did. And you
same,
know, you
dump, that was me.
and then it dumps down to 12. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm, you know, here we go. But the thing is, like, that's just going to happen any price you buy at. Like, let's say you bought some now at 14. Could it go to 7? Fuck, I don't know. Probably. So the thing is, like, it doesn't matter when you pick it up. The odds are you'll have to spend time in the market to ride it out. You certainly don't want to, like, sell low. That doesn't make any sense. Like, crypto generally comes up eventually. It depends, especially if you have decent coins. It's simply a matter of time and waiting. So you don't want to sell low. That's why, like, you know, since I was really busy lately and stuff, like, I didn't get into a whole bunch of new microcaps because, like, I don't really want to, I don't have time to pay attention to that shit right now. So it's like, if it's like some meme coin that is brand new or something, the reason I haven't really gone in heavy is because, like, you know, you have to sell those things at the tops or whatever and whatever. Otherwise, you're just not going to, you're not going to get out of it in time. Anything that's like, you know, it's a big, big, giant, you know, pump and dump, like, you know, I can't put large amounts of money and just sit on it there because so I have to keep paying attention and stuff and whatever. And so I just couldn't be bothered, basically. So everything I picked up like in the last few months, if I bought too high, fine, whatever. You know, I'll be fine because the stuff I picked up, I have a fairly strong belief that it'll just simply go back up again if I just wait long enough. So that's cool. So I like if I'm busy over the summer and traveling or whatever, you know, who gives a shit? It'll go, everything will go back up eventually. Like all these kind of depressed times, like it's the same thing every single time. And the funny thing is, like, we're not even in a bearish like chart pattern. We're like everything's at the 200-day moving average and, you know, generally has been running up. So everything looks fine. Now, the tricky thing is like everything looks fine until it doesn't. Like, is this some kind of, was this whole last 6 months, was that like a bear market rally where everything pumped and it's all going to dump again? I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who the hell knows? But every bull market, when it starts out, looks exactly like this. So it's like, how are you going to really know one way or the other? But we have been fooled in the past. Like, I don't remember, what is it, 2018 or whatever? You know, you had a big run up and, you know, like, remember when Bitcoin went from like 3,000 to like 13 or 14K and then it dumped again, you know, during COVID by that time. And it was like, you know, I was almost sure we were in a bull market then and it turned out to not be the case. So you never know with these things, just because you have a 200-day moving average and uptrend and all that shit, like you never really know. So, you know, but halving has happened already. There's no actual like big narratives left. So pretty much like now is when crypto's kind of boring. And, you know, it's yeah, you just have to decide, so do you pick up more or not, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about the halving because, I mean, what is the catalyst that makes all the past halvings make like Bitcoin skyrocket? It wasn't the halving itself. It's what, like it's something that happens post halving that is everyone's expecting a huge run.
Yeah. I mean, classically the year following halving has been good, you know, like by end of year and that kind of thing, you know, is there some, you know, basically when the halving occurs, you know, obviously you're pumping out less BTC and it's becoming more scarce and all that shit. But some of the stuff's narrative driven. A lot of the price action of Bitcoin or whatever is the narrative of happening, not the actual deterministic effect of the actual math of the algorithm itself. Now that does have a material impact over a period of a year or two, but it's not immediate. So like there is a tendency to run it up, you know, maybe have a dump pre or post halvening. Almost every season had a pre or post halvening giga dump. This is pretty mild, really. Like, I mean, we went to like what, 76K or something? What was the top this season so far? 76 or something? And then we pulled back to like what, around 60? That's not that bad. I mean, like, whatever. Like, so, you know, are we going to go sideways here and then, you know, whatever? Who knows? Like, the thing is, like, by end of year, usually is when the excitement starts to pick up again, generally in all markets, right? Like during Christmas time, holiday season, things pick up anyway. Summer tends to vary. You know, April, May and stock market and everything tends to be whatever. And then, you know, everyone gets back to trading by, you know, fall time and stuff, you know, after vacations or whatever. So who knows? Like maybe it'll, it'll play out like that. But it's really tough to tell. because we sort of had our Havening rally before the Havening this season, I don't know, like, do we just keep going up till the end of the year from here? That'd be nice. But I think if we like hit like maybe, you know, 85K BTC, like probably all the alts are going to catch a bid. I mean, just look at Doge today, for example, it popped like 12% or 10% or something like that. And, you know, like, so from here on, if BTC goes up, alts will have higher multiples. But always remember that like your alts are a gamble in the sense that like if BTC dumps 10%, your alts are going to drop like, I don't know, fucking 40% or whatever. So the thing is, on the way down, it's the elevator is brutal.
That's why I was making the comment about memes.
Yeah.
So like what I categorize the altcoins as is like the middle class, and the middle class is shrinking. And you have either the lower class, which is going to be the people who are bidding memes, and then you have the upper class, which are going to be the guys who are bidding the majors. And I think if the memes dump, or not memes, but the majors dump, the memes are always going to have that bid. Now, it may be some meme that you're holding that they rotate out of into another meme. But the reason why I say that is because people are always going to gamble. And whether they're buying lottery tickets or meme coins, it's going to be a larger shift towards meme coins going forward. It's just a more fair game. And it's just a better risk to reward. Like playing the lottery, like,
and generally with meme coins, you don't even need to know anything really. Like you just like pick a coin and just grab it because you like it.
And it's funner. It's more fun. That's the reason why people like sports betting. It's the same thing.
Yeah, like the entertainment value is there, and like, you know, these things will catch a bid. My sense is that, like, again, if meme coins do well, then, you know, something like a Doge is not going to pull, you know, 100x or something. But if everything else does well, Bitcoin does well, you know, you can still pull a 10x on even something so simple as Doge. It's quite feasible from the perspective of market caps and such. So it really depends on where everything goes. And I figured I'd just get a bite of that and then see what happens with the rest of the like meme space. But you're right, like the smaller meme coins are going to get you much higher upside, but also you'll have to like face even higher volatility as kind of the norm for that. But yeah, I mean, it's okay. Yeah, but
I think it's better. It's better. Think about it. Like your max upside on Doge is what? A 10, maybe a max, like peak euphoria. Like everyone's Doge is just everywhere. It's on the next commercial. Like 100x is that's like max tops.
Well, and that would require like insane market cap, right?
Right. Of course. My point exactly. However, you can make like 1,000x on some like low cap meme coin, just like garbage. And
although
it's just great risk to reward.
I believe, either
1,000x or zero.
I do believe though that Drake, like even something so dumb as Doge has a lot less liquidity behind it than you might think. So while people say like, oh, like, you know, it can't do 100x and stuff or 10x, you know, the market cap would be insane. The market cap's always insane on Gigapumps, and it's meaningless in the sense that it's like illiquid. So I think people underestimate how high some of these things can go for that reason. Even Doge, even though it's one of the top, you know, top coins out there, you can get these wild movements. And so, yeah, you pick these things like, so, but the liquid things that always the key is like, as much as they can pump, they can dump even harder. So you have to be willing to take that gamble and go for it, you know. But the thing is, like, all the alts are generally a leverage play on BTC. So it's like, if you have, you know, some of these, you know, BTC will do it, you know, 3x from here, then some of the alts will do, you know, 7 or 8 or 10x from here, depending on the size of the market cap, or maybe bigger if they're microcap stuff. So I have like maybe like 30 coins or something all the way down the list. And I, you know, I have stuff that's just random Coinbase bullshit that I just kind of like scaled into and bought, like, just because I like, there's a lot of shit that I don't even want to like send to private wallets and stuff. I don't want to be bothered with wasting time on it. I just basically bought some with some interest in gambling on them. You know, that's about it.
All right. I got to ask you, Seffy, have you ever bought anything less than a 5 mil market cap?
Let's see. Yeah, I can't remember what all it was, but yes.
I mean, you got so much money, you don't need to, but
I'm just trying to make the point of like.
I did. It was mostly like, you know, little DeFi coins and things, you know.
No. See, that's the difference. You were aiming for utility on that. I'm telling you, go on Base, go on Solana, go on Bitcoin, and look for these different memes. Utility is bearish right now because nobody cares about utility. Whereas with these meme coins, you can't price it in. And it's just like, it's all speculation. Sure, yeah, the downside is zero on it. But the upside is theoretically infinite because you don't have a valuation to determine what it's worth.
No, I'm with you. Utility usually tells you the bottom of a coin's price, and euphoria tells you the top. So it's like hype is the top, utility is the bottom. So that's exactly right. So that's why they pump more, but they also dump more if you don't like watch out.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's the simplest way to look at it. Like the bottom is found, like who's buying at the very, very bottom? The people that like, yeah, they're speculators, but there's also people that want to use the coin or whatever, and they're like, oh, this is a good price. Or like it's priced based on what its utility is somehow. So like, oh, okay, render token is useful at, you know, 3 cents, but it's like way overpriced at 30 or something. Well, I'm just making up numbers, by the way. But like the value of the token, especially if it's utility, now you have something to tie the value to it. That's not good. So it's almost like utility is a weight on the max price of a thing, right? It's like weighing the balloon down, essentially. And this happens too with like stocks, right? Because like if you have, you know, a stock and let's say it's ExxonMobil or something, and they have a 4% dividend yield, if their stock price doubles quickly, then not only is the upside limited, but now your dividend yield's only 2%. So the dividend yield tells you like, okay, like when the thing is like dividends 4% or more, then ExxonMobil's price is fair, right? So it creates a way for you to know when a good time to buy is. And that's not a good thing for hype, like speculative hype cycle stocks and crypto and stuff. Like you could like in price discovery, when something's new, everything pumps to high heaven. And when people sort of know how to value a thing, that's what Drake's saying. Like when you know how to value it, then it creates like an upper barrier to price action. For sure. But I don't know, like just I'm doing the usual sort of grabbing some things at the bottom. I picked up some more Link and this and that, like on this dip. And so I'm up again on those positions. I did buy some too high for sure. Like I grabbed a bit of everything like maybe 2 months ago. So I'm a little bit down on those, but no big deal. I think they'll all come back up again. So the trend, I think, is the main thing. And plus or minus if you get the price wrong, like, but the problem is in crypto, it's like it's plus or minus 50%. It's not like, you know, being wrong is like you can be wrong a lot. In fact, you'll probably be more wrong than right in terms of picking up the right price.
And this is why I like the memes.
Yeah,
because you can be wrong 99.99% of the time. All you need is one or two of those to do a 1,000x, 2,000x, whatever, and they pay for all the losers. And it works.
That's nice.
I'm telling you, it actually works. Like, yeah. I'm just telling you, it works. Trust me.
No, I do. Like, you know what you're doing for sure with these things. With the microcap stuff, Drake is the man. He's always following the shit, like, left and right. So, like, it's pretty much like, if I had bought everything Drake ever said, I would have done really well. Legitimately, I'm not kidding. I think he does a good job like researching this stuff. Like Drake is sufficiently autistic enough about this, sort of obsessive enough about these microcaps and stuff.
No, I am autistic.
you're sufficiently like obsessive about these things to get it right. That's cool.
Yo, Drake Powers here. Do you happen to follow Ethereum Habibi on Twitter?
Ethereum Habibi. Are you talking about the ticker? Because they
Habibi. It's an account, like this guy. I watched this guy grow from like 1 to 16,000 followers over like the past 4 months. And he's called like, I want to say at least 15 100x coins on Solana. I wrote like one of them, not like with a great amount, but this guy is, he's like, I think he's like the
soul. Oh, he follows me.
Yeah, he follows you, I think. Yeah, this guy is like, he's a straight up degenerate, man.
Where is he trading? Mostly Solana, Solana coins or something?
Solana coins for the most part. He does a little bit of base chain memes as well. But Ethereum Habibi, like, I would say he's probably the best meme coin trader out right now.
I did sell some of the shit that I bought. Like, I bought, like, some crap on Coinbase. Like, it was some base token. I think, like, the Arrow or whatever it was called. It was like a DEX or something on base. So I before this dump happened, I was able to, because some of those 2x really quickly, I was like, all right, I'm gonna sell these out, and I got rid of them. And then, you know, for this dump, I used that money and like loaded up on some of the stuff I have more confidence in. But yeah, there's a fair amount of stuff that did pretty, like, had a nice little pump there for a bit. But I think, yeah, this coming year should be fine. I think we'll see. But yeah, it's like, it's always hard to tell, like, when crypto Twitter, like, the enthusiasm dies down and, you know, people like kind of get bored and there doesn't seem to be any kind of like specific narrative. It's always hard to tell when the next like hype activity is going to happen again. It always feels like it's dead and everyone's going to go home with their ball and, like, you know, no one's going to play again. And then it kind of, it comes back again and again and again. So it's like, it's easy to get really, really bearish, and it's easy to not buy when prices are down substantially from their recent tops. I mean, even from recent tops, a lot of stuff's down like 50% or, you know, close to it right now. So it's not like there's bad deals out there. I don't know. Seems reasonable to pick up some things.
Isn't it kind of like a guarantee though that the next hype event, there might be stuff in between now and then, but the election?
Yeah, I don't know, like, between interest rate changes and election related shenanigans, and I don't know, I'm not really sure. I don't know how any of that's going to matter this time around, what impact it's going to make or whatever. I mean, I'd like to think it's all bullish or something, but I don't really know. I have no idea. Like, do you have some theory on it? Like, that, you know, typically, like, that what happens with these markets is there will be something like sort of a doldrums before election time because there's uncertainty about what to buy and what, you know, whatever, stock markets and things. And then usually someone will win, and then that will either be really good for the market, like a Trump, or it'll be really bad for the market or something like a Biden or something like that, like in the past. I think if Trump gets elected, everything probably pumps again because people think, like, I don't know, not so much that he's going to be like this amazing, like, you know, economic narrative. It's just that, like, the mentality is that, like, hey, if he's elected, we're probably going to have good times again or something like that. And so I think that's what's going to end up happening is we drag for a while, election happens, and then we really ride if, like, you know, Trump rolls in and we go stagnant if, you know, Biden sticks around. That's my guess. I don't know. But it works, like, the timing works with election like this a lot. So maybe we're just bored over the summer. I don't know. Not really sure. Like, what, like, have you seen any, like, I don't know. Have you seen a whole lot of excitement lately about any particular thing? Like,
I mean, it just feels like, all we need is like a presidential debate where crypto is a topic or something, or, you know, and Trump's like, yeah, Bitcoin rocks, you know,
these two guys, like, between Biden and Trump, I don't know if either of them can complete a full sentence anymore, honestly. Like, I don't know. They're both kind of like getting demented to some extent. Like, they're pretty clueless. So I don't really think a whole lot of anything they say is particularly bullish, honestly. So, like, the regulatory agencies have been doing whatever the fuck they want because there's really no presidential leadership whatsoever. And people just been playing games. And, you know, I don't know, like, with the different sort of regulatory attacks on some of the people that were providing wallets and things, some of the stuff that FBI has been saying about, you know, like non-KYC wallets and funds and stuff where you get funds from something, a source that is not KYC. Like, for example, if you mine your own coins and stuff, there's this kind of like mindset that, you know, like, how are we going to prevent all these people from moving money around that we don't know where it's going? You know, so all of that kind of narrative is kind of bearish on the story of crypto to some extent. Now, that might mean the usual FUD where they've been saying this shit forever, and that FUD just drives the prices down and gives you better opportunity to buy stuff. That's possible. But at the same time, like, look what happened to some of these exchanges that like delisted certain coins, or exchanges that have been just straight up just, you know, ripped to shreds for one reason or the other, or being accused of money laundering or some shit. I mean, the basic bottom line now is like DeFi protocols, founders, you name it, are basically just worried about what they can and can't say, to the extent that it wouldn't surprise me if most founders don't even want to talk on Twitter Spaces or anywhere else if they, you know, think that some US regulator is going to, you know, come after them and stuff. So, like, I haven't seen a whole lot of, you know, spaces related to Cosmos or anything else lately. Well, I haven't been paying that close attention too, so I might not be a good, like,
bellwether. Did you see that Eigenlayer, the Eigen airdrop thing?
Mm-mm, no, I haven't paid attention to that at all. Why is that? Is that good shit or what?
There's controversy around it because everyone was like, "What the fuck? You like, geolocated the airdrop?" And
oh yeah. No, I heard about some of that. I read a little bit about that stuff, and that's becoming more common. So that's like, that's pretty bearish for the like crypto space in general, because it limits the number of people that can buy in, right? So that limits the top price of your coins. But yeah, it's like, so I think the way that I'm the vibe check is that it doesn't seem like founders and such are really staying engaged.
Here's the thing also, like, everyone was excited about the restaking narrative and like, oh yeah, like this is the next fucking best thing. And then I can't even get into like, I can't even get past one page of the white paper. So fucking complicated. Of the Eigen token, like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm buying, and I'm not an idiot, you know.
Yeah, it's like you can't get past the first page. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff just pumps just because. But I heard the token distribution for Eigenlayer kind of blows, so I don't know what that's.
Yeah, about. But like, let's just say like, eventually we can buy it on the open market. Like, what the fuck am I buying? Of then the day, like. It's such a dense white paper, dude. Like, how is it going to pump to high heaven if people can't really, like, grasp any of the concepts?
Yeah, this is why, like, you know, a lot of this stuff has become such DeFi nerd niche stuff. It's not really clear to me, like, what the addressable market of potential buyers for this stuff is. It's usually existing crypto natives on Ethereum or whatever, who goes and pick this stuff up. It's not like randoms that are buying this anymore. So for those kinds of things, you have to be super early, or you have to be a seed investor or something like that. But it's just hard to be sure you're making any money on something like that and how long the holding time might be. So that being the case, like, the amount of money you can actually invest in these things is probably like limited. Cause like, you know, if you're not sure if your $1,000 is going to be cut into like $100, well, then you're probably not going to put a whole lot of money into that sort of thing, right? Like, people want to put serious money into something. They want to see, like, serious gains over the period of, like, 3-4 years. Like, they want to pull, a 10x to 100x. And, you know, if it looks too risky in terms of the initial token distribution, no one's going to buy the fucking thing. And then, at least nobody with a lot of money. And then it just languishes. So, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe Eigenlayer is good. I have no idea. To me, it's like, if you say, like, if you're in it for the tech, and you say, well, like, which tech is doing the absolute most to try to, like, bring in tons of new users and tons of new money? It's hands down Chainlink. Like, there is just simply no comparison at this point, in my view. I haven't seen much from most of the other protocols. And the interesting thing about Link is, like, they keep on having conferences and talking about Chainlink and what they're going to do. They don't really talk about the token or its price or anything else because they don't want to be, you know, caught up in shilling their coin. Otherwise, what happens is that they get in trouble because theirs is also kind of like an unregistered security to some extent. So, like, they've been largely left alone so far because they're like registered company in America. And, you know, somehow or another, Sergey's, you know, gotten off scot-free. Maybe it's because he's, you know, participating in projects that the government's interested in. So, therefore, they've left him alone, maybe. I'm not really sure. But, like, you know, obviously it's a security token, but he's been left alone. But as far as tech is concerned, like, outside of the FUD of worrying about the fact that Link is a security, the tech is really interesting. And, like, it's one of the few companies doing something that, like, real world companies are likely to adopt in some form or fashion. Versus almost everything else in crypto, as far as real world adoption, is more vaporware for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, Chainlink is easy to understand. You need fucking to connect different chains, and you need real world data to power the blockchain. Like, that to me makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. But when you start talking
it
about
it, makes sense enough to point out that like it probably won't go to zero.
But exactly. Steffi, remember this. Bearish utility. This bull run, sure. Everything is going to be bearish utility. If it has utility, it's bearish.
No, I think Drake's right. Like, so a link buy is a much more long-term thing. And it's not a buy based on like immediate speculative growth. It's based on the idea that, like, for me at least, that the odds that it's going to go down to zero or whatever, or close to it, is not high. So, like, it spent, for example, the whole, like, 1.5 years of like the bear market or something, it was like in a price range of about $5 to $10. And now it's only sitting at 14. So I feel like it's had a good support base in terms of like long-term price action, which protects it to some extent. So the speculators will be fine because it's not priced too high. The utility folks will be fine because it's not priced too high. And then slowly the trend will be that it picks up over time because, that's the other thing, Drake. Keep in mind, when the market's moving up steadily like this, and you have like deep pullbacks of 50%, like this type of market structure is really healthy in that it leaves a lot of room for more upside. So, like, if it just went straight up, right, you know it's going to dump again, and it's just like, you know, the number of buyers start to get exhausted. But when you get these corrections down to the 200-day moving average over and over again, it might be just fine. Like, that's typically good market structure. So I don't know. I'm not too worried about like which coin to pick and all that shit right now. I'm just watching for, I don't really want to buy a whole lot of stuff that's like running to zero or whatever. And I have a few risky things, obviously, like extreme risk type things. But, you know, like the bulk of money is in the, I would say what like I consider lower risk in that sense. Anyway, but yeah, I've been enjoying like some other hobby stuff. And like I said, I was designing a house for my brother. Kind of like putting that together and doing all sorts of random things with work and this and that. Trying to plan a trip, like maybe to go to Colorado or something for a few weeks, maybe drive around the mountains and stuff. So sorting that out should be fun. But like actual touch grass type stuff. Kareem, where in California are you? What area?
Well, I'm in New York, remember? But
New York.
Yeah, New York City. I'm in Manhattan, but I was raised in the East Bay, so Walnut Creek, San Ramon, Danville.
Okay. You said you had family over there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. I know we have some family in Walnut Creek.
Yeah, it's a great area. So when you were saying Fremont, it's like, yeah, it's like that's 20-minute drive from Walnut Creek.
Yeah, we've got some folks in Fremont, so my son's going to be staying with them while he goes and works there for a year. Like, instead of getting an apartment out there, which is a total waste of money. So, should be fun.
What do you think of Athena, Steffi? Because that's probably one of my riskier assets that I have.
Bruce got into it pretty heavy. He told me about it a little bit. I haven't been paying much attention, unfortunately, so I didn't research it at all. So I'll just totally be ignorant about it right now. Why is it good shit? Like, what does it do?
I mean, it's, I don't know, some sort of algorithmic stable coin shit where it's like shorting ETH, but then, which keeps the price stable, and like hard to explain. Some sort of perpetual thing to keep the coin stable.
Yeah, I've heard of these types of mechanisms before the last few years. And who knows, like, yeah, how stable will it be and stuff. But yeah, these are all fun things. These kind of things are like, either they go to infinity or zero, right?
Yeah, so I'm just hoping I can get like a 10x on it. Honestly, dude, I just want like 100K put in my future wedding fund. So that's just taken care of.
Oh, are you getting ready to get married or something?
No, I just want to kind of have like a, maybe like a rainy day, like a legal fund, like a 30K legal fund, 100K wedding.
Like, it's time to find a woman first, I think.
Yeah, I'm still at ground zero.
Ground zero.
Yeah.
Well, you're in Manhattan. You should be able to find somebody.
I mean, but are they marriable? Are they? Oh, it's hard, man. New York is like, you would think you would find someone, but I think everyone here is just a cesspool.
How do you get in the right crowds over there, though, in Manhattan? Like, how do you?
I mean,
that's the, when you're that's in,
like,
question.
When you're in, like, the founder, like, successful tech worker crowd, like, everyone's kind of just jumping around from person to person, it feels like. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I've had, like, a New York, like, it got to the point where it was kind of getting toward to marriage, and then, I mean, we would need to have another space about it. It should be about my love life, but it gets pretty insane. And then I haven't really recovered since.
Or did you try, like, some dating apps or some shit, or what would you do?
No. We met during COVID, but it was good while it lasted. Honestly, having a girl during the pandemic was dope because you didn't have to make reservations to shit. You never had to wait in line. Like, I live in Soho, so, like, seeing so completely empty was amazing. It's a fucking shithole when there's like hella tourists, can't walk anywhere. So yeah, I don't know. It was great. 2020, 2021 was a good year.
Oh, you're saying just because like you didn't have to have reservations because like the restaurants were like dry because of the pandemic.
Yeah, it was just everyone who lived in the city. It's like only if you saw someone in Manhattan, they lived there. Like that was it. It was like as if New York was, it'll probably be the only time in history that New York will ever feel that way. And I was able to witness it, which is great.
Why? And so what's the wait time these days? Like hour and a half or something for a restaurant?
Like you can go to the best, like at the time during COVID, you could go to some of the best restaurants in New York and just like walk in or call like the same day.
Nice.
Yeah, it was sick. Then slowly, the city started coming back into full force.
Yeah, it's tough if you got to go out to eat, like, and you have to wait that long on a work night or something. It's hard to make the time.
I mean, dude, I've been working from home now for like 4 years. It's like crazy. Like, COVID changed the game. Going back to an office, it's like not an option for me. I'll never do it.
You just can't do it anymore. Well, I mean, but
it's not needed.
How are you going to meet anybody if you're not out?
That's the problem. Well, that's the problem, Steffi. It's the problem.
You're going to have to be on the like fucking Hinge or whatever.
Like, yeah, Hinge is great. I mean, Hinge is fun though, for real. It's good.
Have you used it a bit?
Yeah. And there's this one called Raya, which is like, you got to like be a cool kid to get on it. Which I'm on it. It's just Hinge is better. It's converts more.
So it's just hard to find anyone like you want to stick with on that thing or what?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, dating to date is easy, but dating for marriage in New York is like near impossible. People will literally be in relationships in New York for like 3 years and then break up. It's like, okay, what'd you guys just waste in your 20s?
I was talking to this Persian girl. Well, girl is probably not the right term, but a Persian woman. She's like 38. Mm. And she's like, I want to get married quick because like, I want to have kids and stuff. And oh my I'm days. Like, let me message everyone I know to see if some Persian dude around your age is interested. And, you know, like I got like a couple of messages back from some folks on, I don't know what, some people I used to know from, you know, whenever. So like, the problem is like in your inner circle, how you know people like this? I don't know. So, but like not being Persian for starters, but like I just know a lot of people, so I just send out a message like, anyone know any Persian guys that want to meet a girl? You know, she's such and such, and yeah, wants to get married quick because she wants to have kids. But yeah,
at 38, that's like kind of too late, no?
Yeah, she's like 37. Yeah, well, it's going to be too late soon. So,
I mean, yeah, I don't know. R.I.P.
That's why my son's 21. I'm like, fuck that. Like, your ass better be like finding a girlfriend and like, and probably be married by like 25 or, you know, you're I'm gonna disown your ass. like get off your ass and go find a girl. Stop messing.
Yeah.
Enough with the fucking video games or whatever, you know.
Does that mean I'm disowned?
Yeah, you're fucked, Drake. But you know that already. You're all right though.
I'm roasted, dude. Gone. I'm roasted.
No, but that's what I was telling my kid. I was like, dude, get out there and go, you know, meet some girls and stuff. And he met a girl like in Manhattan, actually, Kareem, when he went out there and he seen her before and he went there to see her again. And he was there to visit some friends and stuff. So he went and took her out and stuff. But he's like, fuck, I'm going to be going to California for a year. Like, she's really pretty and nice and everything else. But like, how the hell are we going to make like a New York, California thing work out? I'm like, dude, you may go all the way to California. You still may not find someone. You might want to keep up with her just in case. Like, you know, this game is not easy these days from what I hear.
So. Also, yeah, Fremont, dude, you're not going to find shit in Fremont.
Yeah, exactly. Like if he's staying there, but he's got friends at Stanford and stuff. So he's going to hang out with them at that area. So that's not bad. His best friend's out at Stanford, so he figured he'd go hang out with him for the year while he's over there. So they'll find. But again, these two dorks, are they going to find a woman? I don't know. Maybe not.
How did you tell him how you met his mom and like for inspiration or what?
Yeah, he'd be lucky to find someone half as decent as his mom. Like my wife is not. Is a rare breed. It would be very, very difficult for him to even match up anywhere close. So we'll see how that goes. But I mean, he's a pretty sharp kid and he's a good looking kid. But like the thing is, I just got really lucky. That's all there is to it. Like, I don't know how easy it is for anyone to do that again. I probably couldn't meet someone like my wife again, even if I went back in time and shit. This is probably it's pure luck, essentially. That's what I said.
Wow,
like,
Kendrick Lamar just dropped again, bro. What
you know, in Korea, like, you know how there's like some website where you go on there and you can type in like, you know, like what age woman you're looking for and like how much money should she make and, you know, how pretty she is and whatever. And it'll tell you in like the country what the approximate percentage of people with those characteristics are. And I plugged all that shit in for my wife and it's like there's maybe 5,000 people in all of America. Compared to my wife. So first, my wife was like, "Wait, why are you looking this shit up?" I was like, "I don't know. I thought it'd be fun." I'm like, "The good news is you're rare as hell, and I'm lucky to have you. So that's good news."
Steffi,
the bad
here's
news.
My is plan. Good, son. I'm thinking of just grinding another 3 years, getting a fat exit, and then being 32, and then marrying like a 25-year-old chick.
You think it's really money related though? I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. Get in with some old money families with my new money and like, I don't know, legacy. I don't know. I just
that worked for me because I was like I graduated from medical school super early. So I was done by I was finished at like 20 I started at 19, I was done by about 23. Which is pretty early, which was really early, like 3 years younger than most people. And a lot of people in my class were even 2 years older than me. So, I mean, I'm sorry, like a lot of people in my class were like 5 years older than me. So like I was kind of the baby of the class and stuff. There was no chance in hell I was going to meet someone in my class because I was just younger than everyone else, just like by a significant amount. And so that didn't work out, but basically I met her later. But my point is like, yeah, I mean, to some extent, like, if you're doing well in terms of career and this and that, you're certainly a better catch or whatever. But I was by no means, at the time when I first met her, like, I wouldn't say either of us were, like, super wealthy. I mean, our parents were fine, but, like, we weren't, like, ultra rich at that moment. We did really well afterwards, but that's a different story. So, but she also is, you know, a physician and such, so, like, she does really well. She's probably one of the busier doctors in America, I would say, as far as women are concerned. So, you know, we have no financial problems whatsoever. It's pretty rare to find, like people that are like equally matched to you in terms of capability and stuff. pretty uncommon, I would say.
Yeah, well, Seffy, whenever you're in the city, dude, let's go hit Fort Charles, eat some steaks. But I'm going to go listen to this Kendrick Lamar diss. If you guys are still on, I'll come back.
That Kendrick Lamar diss, what happened? There's like a...
Oh, dude, Drake and Kendrick have been beefing for like 3 days. There's like six songs that have been dropped.
Okay, so you're going to stay busy. All right.
Well, I mean, I'm caught up. Like, this is just the newest one, 24 minutes ago.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
don't have fun with that. I'm gonna drop off anyway. I've got to like eat something here. I got my Domino's in the like came up and it's got like banana peppers and shit on it. I gotta eat it.
So I'll banana peppers. All right, later, brother.
All right, later, guys. We'll catch up another time.
Awesome.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Spaces.